Professor Grunsplatter's Spookatorium. I am your curator, Professor Grunsplatter. Beyond these doors crouch the wonders, horrors, and wry smiles of an uncanny world. This world, your world. Should you choose to come inside, the sounds and stories that the shadows tell will be yours to behold. Make no mistake, it is a place of questions, not answers. A place where the tickle in your belly or the twitch in your eye simply mean you're paying attention. But then if you weren't curious, you wouldn't be here. There'll be no refunds once you enter. Thank you for your attention, and the brave ones, come with me.
Last night I dreamed of darkness. Last night I dreamed of home.
I tried to call my father.
My father's dead and gone. Sick hell of
Greetings, welcome to episode 72 of the Spookatorium. My elementary school teachers called me Professor Gruntsplatter, and you can too if you like. The show opened with Those Poor Bastards and the track Sick and Alone from their 2008 album The Plague. And the last track you heard was Dry Wedding off their 2021 record Sway, and that one was called The Hatchet. Coming up a little later in the show, I have got something about 19th century painter Richard Dodd, who created much of his fantastical work from within the belly of Victorian asylums. Before that, though, this is Dint with Shovel.
Thank you.
That was Blood Flowers with Steel Churches from the 2002 EP Torn at the Seams. Before that was Einleitungszeit with Maschinen schaffen Maschinen. And I think I mentioned this previously, but Phage Tapes just recently reissued several of their releases, and they are worth checking out. And then that set opened with Dint and the track Shovel, and that is off of their Hooker EP. Scratching for ways to define the ineffable, humanity's fever to understand the other finds voice through its artistry. Richard Dodd was born in England in 1817 and would end up being the fourth of seven children. And of those seven children, four of them would go on to suffer serious mental health issues. Dodd's artistic abilities were evident from an early age, and at 17 he was admitted to the Royal Academy of Arts in London to study. He didn't appreciate the rigidity and the limited scope of how the Royal Academy judged art, and he created a short-lived avant-garde group known as the Clique. The philosophy of the Clique leaned away from the historical painting favored by the Academy toward genre painting that favored everyday life, and the idea that art should be judged by the public rather than by academic standards. They created a sketching club that would meet and create drawings based around a common theme, and then enlist non-artists to judge the pieces and select the best of the sessions. This continued on for a few years before the group disintegrated, as more of its members, aside from Dodd, became successful within the structure of the Arts Academy. Early in his 20s, Dodd began experiencing the effects of schizophrenia, and that, in combination with a trip to the Middle East to explore the idea of Orientalism at the age of 26 with his patron, facilitated the shift that would both lead to his confinement and his fantastical paintings that would become his legacy. While in the Middle East, his mental health began to deteriorate, writing to a friend at the time, quote, "The excitement of these scenes has been enough to turn the brain of an ordinary weak-minded person like myself, and I have lain down at night with my imagination so full of vagaries that I have really and truly doubted my own sanity," unquote. It became concerning enough that he decided to cut the trip short and return home. On the return trip, he passed through Italy, and there he was consumed by the idea that he must attack the Pope, but he did not. This is a quote from Dodd that is taken from his biography, quote, "On my return from travel, I was roused to a consideration of subjects which I had previously never dreamed of or thought about connected with self, and I had such ideas that had I spoken of them openly, I must, if answered in the world's fashion, have been told I was unreasonable. I concealed, of course, these secret admonitions. I knew not whence they came, although I could not question their propriety, nor could I separate myself from what appeared my fate. My religious opinions varied, and do vary, from the vulgar. I was inclined to fall in with the views of the ancients, and to regard the substitution of modern ideas thereon not as for the better. These and the like, coupled with an idea of a descent from the Egyptian god Osiris." Upon returning to England, he deteriorated further, for a time living off only beer and eggs, and his ability to hold an intelligible conversation was more and more strained. Dodd's family had him seen by a doctor who recommended that he be committed to an asylum, but his father, who had been a pharmacist, decided instead for the classic Victorian cure-all of rest and relaxation. This would prove consequential for both men. In August of 1843, the father and son went for a walk after a meal, and Richard Dodd murdered his father by stabbing him and slashing his throat. Dodd fled to France after the killing, and upon arriving in France, attacked someone else with a razor. He was apprehended for this attack and informed the police that he was also wanted in England. When he was apprehended, he had a list of other people he felt needed to die, And that the reason he'd attacked the person in France was because he got a message from the stars telling him to. And he'd killed his father because he believed that the Egyptian god Osiris had instructed him to, because his father was possessed by demons and noted that he saw black devils crawling all over him, particularly in his saliva. Dodd was tried in 1844 and was one of the very first people to be found guilty by reason of insanity, and this spared him from the gallows and led to his incarceration in the Bethlehem Hospital, sometimes referred to as Bedlam, which has many stories of its own. In Dodd's case, however, it seems that the tales of abuse and neglect were not so much his experience. He was allowed to maintain an artist studio while institutionalized, and that is where the works that would define him were painted. Dodd became a leader in what was known as Victorian-era fairy painting, and the rise of spiritualism and the supernatural helped popularize this darkly whimsical style of work. There were some pieces so detailed that they were a bit like a woodland take on Hieronymus Bosch. The piece considered his masterwork is called the Fairy Feller's Masterstroke, and he spent nearly a decade on it. It remains technically unfinished, but he penned a short poem about the piece as well. Dodd died institutionalized at 68 years old, still working on his art. He's credited as an influence on the artists that would go on to develop the Surrealist movement, and the band Queen recorded a track based on Dodd's painting. This is the poem that he wrote as a means to finish what he wasn't able to finish on the actual canvas for the Fairy Feller's Masterstroke. Fay Woodman holds aloft the axe, whose double-edged virtue now they tax, to do it singly and make single double, featly and neatly, equal without trouble. And once the hazelnut has been split asunder, the two halves would be used as a chariot for his Queen Mab. She is the fairy's midwife, and she comes, in a shape no bigger than an agate stone, on the forefinger of an alderman, drawn with a team of little otomies athwart men's noses as they lie asleep, her wagon spokes made of long spinner's legs, the cover of the wings of grasshoppers, her traces of the smallest spider's web, her collars of the moonshine's watery beam, her whip of cricket's bone, the lash of film, her wagoner a small gray-coated gnat, not half so big as a round little worm pricked from the lazy finger of a maid. Her chariot is an empty hazelnut made by the joiner squirrel or old grub. Time out of mind, the fairy coachmakers, and in this state she gallops night by night through lovers' brains, and then they dream of love. That was Daniel Menchie with the third track from his October's Larynx release. Before that was Dog D'Amour with The Fields of Death, and that set opened with Current 909 and the track Sleepwalking. And now this is Click Click with Red from their split 12-inch with Borgesia that came out back in 1988.
Oh,
and ideas. I am not an expert at anything, and I have no agenda beyond fostering curiosity. The show is not monetized on any platform. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and others. A video version is available on the Cryonic Mind YouTube page. If you can like, subscribe, comment, etc., it helps the show's visibility. If your music was featured here and you'd prefer it was not, let me know and I will remove it from the feed. You can reach the show at spookatorium@gmail.com. The website can be found at spookatorium.org, and your comments are always welcome. Thanks very much for spending some time here. That was The Clinic with Melting Close from 1987. Before that was Killisect with Broken Clocks from their self-titled 2002 EP. And that set opened with Click Click and Red. And that is about that for today. To clear the table this time, this is Lavinia with New Blood. Thank you, as always, for checking out the show. Until next time.